Hello, welcome to another member podcast on AboveTopSecret.com. This is True American, your friendly partisan to the truth. Enter a podcast reply to King Lizard's podcast reply, to my reply, to his reply, and then I think she replied, no. Anyway, King, thanks a bunch for the post. You're quite welcome for mine. I appreciate you jumping in here, and I'm glad to hopefully maybe spurred you on to get back into it, because as you know and have experienced, obviously, it can be quite beneficial in a lot of different ways. That's for sure. Meditation, that is. One of the things you mentioned, King, in your podcast there was that, you know, how difficult meditation is. No doubt it certainly is, or, well, was, a little easier now. And like anything, once you learn it, sort of becomes like, you know, riding a bicycle. You don't quite forget how and the feelings associated with it. But in that regard, as far as learning how to meditate, there's one method that I can suggest, and it's the one I use, pretty much the one I prefer, and that is to keep turning back thoughts until your mind reaches a point, some sort of state of blankness. And when I say blankness, I mean, if you can imagine the thought of thinking nothing, and I'm not talking about thinking the word nothing, I'm talking about total blankness and that existent state of that. The way I do it, pretty much, is to turn back words, one sentence sometimes, because usually they come in a sentence kind of thing, and you know, that voice talks to you, and you're like, oh, okay, and then you respond and think something else, and this kind of thing. But for each one of those thoughts, either single word or sentence thoughts that are coming, you kind of try to turn them back, I guess is the best way. There's a piece of your mind that'll let you actually do it. And I know in some cases it can tend to give me a slight sort of dull ache in my head. It's kind of a weird thing, but it only happens usually at first, and then you don't get it anymore. But I remember experiencing that when I first tried to meditate. And you know, I don't want to stray too far from the subject here, but on that note, when turning back thoughts on your head, if you learn how to just sort of send it back where it came from, is another way to put it. You feel a thought's going to come, and I'm already probably jumping way ahead of where most people are going to be when they start. Because when you first start, you know, just grasping these concepts, I think, is key to understanding what you're trying to shoot for. And your average person, you know, is probably going to need a lot more time to be able to, I think, adequately understand the point at which I'm talking from here, which is... you're actually at that point in the meditative process. It takes a while just to be able to get there, to learn how to turn back thought efficiently enough and quickly enough to where all of a sudden you can maintain that existent blank state of mind for any extended period. Now, there's the key. Any extended period... you might be able to reach it, and at first, the first day you reach it, and you're in that mode for just, I don't know, 3 seconds, 2 seconds, 4 seconds, and then 10 seconds, and then you're able to start attaining that and maintaining that mode for longer, you know, 40, 50 seconds, a minute, and you'll find that your thoughts... usually, especially at first when you try it, will come back to get you and stop it at each interval that I've talked about here. They'll come back sort of regardless for a long time until you keep practicing and doing it, and you learn how to just eventually blank your mind, stay in that state, and then go on, because once you get in that state, this is what I guess I'm really interested to hear more people talk about, is once you're in that state, what do you experience? How long can you make it last is another question. I think the more that you can make it last, probably the longer, you know, you've been meditating, usually is the case. But because, man, to me, it just kind of draws me when I continue in that state. It depends on what I'm going for before I meditate. Like if I'm going to go to sleep, as I mentioned in my first podcast, it's an excellent way to learn how to get to sleep quickly. If I'm going to go to sleep and I'm already kind of tired, you know, well, then I blank my mind and I'm not, you know, I'm going in with the attempt to use meditation at that point with something other in mind, just other than sleep. So, you know, I'm already kind of tired, blank my mind, and as soon as I start to fall into that hyper trance, I guess I could call it, you know, boom, I doze off and I'm gone. Now, meditating like in the middle of the day when, you know, you have energy, you're not tired and stuff, that's when, you know, you can do quite a few more things with it. And again, Paul, Richard there, I'm interested in the fact that you've taken the time. Now, I know that you're on dial-up to download the podcast. I appreciate that. I remember dial-up. It wasn't any fun. And I'll tell you one good reason to get high speed there, Paul, is if nothing else, your ability to learn quickly off the internet, as opposed to waiting for everything. When you got high speed and you can zoom around so quickly, it's not only more convenient and fun, but you can just learn stuff so much quicker. In other words, it's worth the money to buy it. It's worth paying for it, for sure, at least to me. Anyway, I digress, and I'm sorry. Forgive my self-indulgent rambling on here. But anyway, to the issue of, you know, the blanking of your mind and meditation and stuff, yes, I know that people are using it for just all kinds of different things. And by the way, King Lizard, that was a really bizarre story about the seed, the red and white seed entering your navel and going through your body and stuff. I'm amazed at some of the different things that, and I've, you know, read a lot of stuff about what people done with it as well, and certainly is a cool thing. I just wonder if, I don't know, I guess I consider meditation sort of as the general door. It's almost like a museum, you know, you can walk through the door and then you can go into each individual room to see different things. I kind of feel like the mind is sort of that way a little bit, especially the subconscious mind and that which we don't know about. And that's why I titled the thread, you know, Keys to the Unknown, because for most of us, it what resides in that part of your in your mind is unknown, to a large degree. It's a very interesting subject to me. And you know, King Lizard, I appreciate your reply. Hopefully, you know, it'll have spurred you on to get back into meditation, because as you said, you know, you can get sort of a recharge when you meditate, if nothing else. And I keep them coming, folks. I want to hear more about you know, what you're doing with meditation and how you do it specifically, and how that ties to the particular application you're going to use meditation for. Because it really, in my view anyway, is the key to the, is the key to the locked doors of the mind. It's been said that, we can only use approximately 10 to 12%, maybe a few more, of your brain power. And, that thought has always interested me to no end, because, you know, another person combined with that said, you know, that it takes about that much of your brain power to manage and assemble words and thoughts and, you know, analyze and all of the things that we do with our mind. On that note, one of the weird thoughts I've always had is just to slightly go off the subject here, but not really, because it ties to meditation and the whole business about having a blank state of mind. And I guess the issue that by achieving that blank state, are we really in another mode that we should have been all in all along? That's what I wonder. And the point, the thought I was going to mention a second ago was the whole business of I've thought before, just as a thought, as an idea, what if you were to raise a child with no language communication skills? In other words, not expose the child to any sort of communicated vocal verbal communication. What my question in that light, if you will indulge me for one moment, is could the child develop abilities that we don't currently have because we may have chosen the path of, not chosen, but we were from birth. Of course, all of us have had to learn and communicate a language, in some cases, 2, 3, 4, 5 languages or more. But my point is getting back to no words. No words seems to be a common issue and thread that ties so many things together, that it's something that I've tried to dive into pretty deeply and think thoughts around, I guess, come up with theories, hypotheses around, because it's deep what happens when you lose the words and you actually go into a meditative state and achieve a blank of mind state, and maintain it, more importantly, for some kind of time. That's where a lot of people just give up and say, no way, I can't do this. And they find it's hard, and it is hard, because that little voice that's been talking to you in your head has been talking to you since you were a kid, you know, since you were a baby. You know, you've had absorbed all this around you of people communicating and talking with words and stuff. And what abilities might a child develop that we don't have currently now because we, as a race, chose that path? And some might even say that this ties in to the tree of knowledge mentioned in the Bible. I've always wondered that. Not that I necessarily think that the Bible is, you know, all that's out there, I will say. Or anyway, I think I better leave that subject for another day. But I did want to reply to you, King Lizard, and that story you told, it was a trip. I think, you know, there's plenty more to talk about here, but I did want to mention how specifically I was able to learn how to meditate, and that is by, you know, of course, turning back the thoughts one by one in your head until you're able to turn them back so quickly and efficiently that you maintain a clear, completely thoughtless state of mind. Although I will mention that from that state, usually I have a reason to get to that state if I'm doing it while not trying to go to sleep. In other words, if I'm doing it for another objective than sleep. Once you're in that state, what have you seen? What do you see? What do you experience? What do you feel when you're in that state? Once you've achieved it and maintained it for, you know, several minutes, possibly even hours. From there, I believe you're given the keys to the unknown. This is True American, signing out.